Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Tuesday, March 28th, 2017, and I want to welcome you to We Get Results. I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson, and this program airs on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern, and then it's archived for later listening. If you haven't joined me before, the purpose of my show is to discuss challenges we're facing in the United States and globally, and to connect listeners to nonprofits and ways that they can make a difference. We are the ones we've been waiting for. There's no one else coming. It's our turn. So we need to be the change we want to see in the world, to be an advocate for people who have no voice. So, and don't stop with online activism. Petitions are great, but we need to go deeper. Find an organization that works on issues that you're passionate about and needs you. You don't have to start a new one. One of the best ways I've found for one person to make a difference is with the Results Organization. I'll tell you a little bit about that before we go into our exciting new organization we're going to talk about. And Results is an international volunteer citizens lobby, creating the political will to end hunger and poverty. There are over 115 groups in the U.S. and growing in 13 other countries, and they lobby the World Bank. We lobby Congress in our districts and on Capitol Hill in D.C. at our international conference. And I've been involved in congressional meetings for about 12 years. The founder of Results, Sam Daly Harris, wrote a wonderful book I would really recommend called Reclaiming Our Democracy, Healing the Break Between People and Government. And I'll give you that website later. One reviewer on the book said, Sam Daly Harris has done inspiring work giving ordinary citizens their voice. He's a great guide to effective involvement. And that was Paul Loeb, who authored the book Soul of a Citizen. Sam Daly Harris has said, the biggest challenge, yes, what we thought the biggest challenge was, and this wasn't what a lot of us said, he said, the biggest challenge is how few of us see ourselves as change makers. So once we find something we're passionate about and we find an organization that we really like and that they need us too, you'll be able to see how you can make a big difference. That's something about Results, and we want to go on now to something that's just beginning. Today's program will inform you about a new organization which is growing very rapidly called Indivisible. My guest today is Ted Williamson, who started the Indivisible Group in Northville, Michigan, and can tell us all about the organization, which now has groups all over the United States. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Ted's background before I introduce him. And Ted grew up in Livonia, Michigan. He went to University of Michigan, got his degree in English. He moved to D.C., worked for the CIA and counterintelligence, IT, and security. Came back to Michigan and worked for a couple of different companies, including Microsoft, for 14 years. He was global director of consulting. He was a member of the Board of Governors Task Force on Jobs. And then for a few years at University of Michigan, he was assistant director of a program to help underrepresented minorities succeed at U of M after the end of affirmative action in Michigan. He worked for Quicken Loans to help build Rocket Mortgage, and at the present he works for Blue Cross. And Ted said to me he's traveled globally for Microsoft and saw the changing world with independencies between nations. So we are really excited to have Ted here. We want to be informed about Indivisible and how all of us can become involved. So I want to see if Ted's on the line. Can you hear me, Ted?
Yes. Hello, Mary. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for coming on with us. We really appreciate it. And, I attended my first Indivisible meeting Monday and was very interested in becoming involved. So we want to find out from you. I'm new at this. I want you to tell us all about what you know and what would make us feel like this would be a great thing for us to become involved in. So do you want to start by kind of telling everybody in general about Indivisible?
Sure, and absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today. I became involved in Indivisible because of a number of my friends started talking about a group they had heard about, that several people who had been involved in different areas of the government and political arenas were concerned about the Trump agenda. And many of these people mm-hmm. weren't Democrats or Republicans. And over time, they developed a 26-page document that they originally posted on Google Docs, but it grew so large that members around the country have joined, and various memberships have spawned from groups of, you know, 8 to 10 people to hundreds. There's actually an Indivisible group that covers the entire Michigan 11th district that has 1,500 members. We have over 425 members in our group at this point, and it grew very, very rapidly.
No, that's amazing. That's great. And tell us exactly about what Indivisible is doing.
So it takes on different forms. And I know a lot of people were very upset, you know, after the election and even more so after the inauguration. And as you said, mm-hmm. posting things on the Internet, posting things on Facebook is often not enough. So there are group meetings, and if you go to the site, it's indivisibleguide.com, you can search for mm-hmm. a group or start your own group, and that's what I did right after the inauguration. And our focus is really around local issues and how those local mm-hmm. issues can pertain to national issues, so working with our member of Congress, but also looking at what our local school boards are doing, as well as other city council members within our district, within our cities. So we're not just one big national group focusing on one thing. We're a local
right.
group made up of grassroots organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I think that's a great idea. And I think I really, for so long, I wasn't involved. And, you know, I never really noticed or knew that something like the Koch brothers had brought lots of people in on the local level, and we're getting all these people in locally and then statewide, and all of a sudden here they are in the U.S. Congress, and I think there's been things probably going on for, what, about 30 years that, you know, some of us may not have even known.
Yeah, with the Tea Party, exactly. And they've, though I disagree with much of what they do, they were very successful at rallying local issues and completely subverting other issues in Congress, especially it created a split in the Republican Party. Our goal isn't to create a split. It's really to bring people together and look at these things that affect all of us.
Yeah. Now, what would you say were some of those things that you would think are some of the biggest things that they're interested in?
Well, our current issue in Northville is really our lack of contact with our member of Congress. Dave Trott, I think he had had someone keeping records. And it was over 2 years that he's done a town hall, and he finally did a town hall last weekend. It didn't go very well for him. I don't think he was well
right.
prepared. But the positive impact of that, and this is still developing, is it looks like if the vote to repeal Obamacare isn't completely off the target, completely wiped out, it's diminished significantly. And much of that is because of Indivisible and other resistance groups around the country pressuring their members of Congress and letting them know. So I think at this point now there's a higher level of engagement than I've ever seen in my life in politics. I'm not a political person. I've been on marches. I voted. I did a lot of rallying for President Obama. I did a couple of voter registration things, but nothing to this level that sustains itself this far after the election. And that's what's really impressed me. The other areas we're concerned about are really around immigration, the environment, particularly in our region, in the Great Lakes region in the state of Michigan. Our number two industry is tourism, and
right.
that would be significantly impacted if there was any kind of cut in funding to keeping Great Lakes clean or allowing the pipeline in the Straits to burst, and that pipeline desperately needs to be replaced. And imagine an oil spill, you know, in that part of the state, which would profoundly affect our economy in Michigan. The other big focus is really around education. The current education secretary has made a lot of claims that could potentially hurt our students. And also at the national level, and pressuring our local representative around the presence of treason in this past election. And it's not a conspiracy theory. It's looking more and more like there was foreign involvement in our election. And then
right.
the Supreme Court pick, you know, pressuring our representative to ensure that, you know, we're asking the right questions after the Senate hearing for the Supreme Court. Is this person the right person to be on the court? So it starts with small issues. And again, we've been to the town halls for our state senator and our state representative as well. So we're making our presence known. But I like to think of our group as a polite force of disruption. So we're not interested in the huge demonstrations and loud noises, but we really want to engage our members of Congress and our state and local representatives as well.
Yeah, and that's everyone. You're not a partisan group.
Correct.
So
correct. In fact, there's a new member who told me she was a Republican and she was concerned about repealing Obamacare because her children would be affected. Those are the kinds of people that we're looking for in our group. It isn't just longtime Democrats, but you know, everyone across the board.
Well, and it's helpful, I think, you know, when, like you said, she was concerned about her kids, but I think that many or probably most of the people have some kind of concern that is personal. And I think, you know, with results, one of the big things that they've always taught us is the story. Any story to tell them is extremely important. So if someone's there and has a story, like we even saw, because I was at the Trot Town Hall also, and the people who had a story, it just makes so much of a difference when you can see the person and they talk about their children. And the one man whose child had, I think, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he was afraid that if ACA went away and the next one came on, that his son with pre-existing conditions, it wouldn't work for him. And I think he said they'd already spent something like $400,000. So, I mean, there's lots of things, and I feel like it's hard for me to believe that many people even think that what they're trying to put through is okay, because there are so many stories and so many people talking about, you know, what would happen if they weren't on there, and how, you know, ladies getting up and will say, you know, me and two of the other members of my family wouldn't be alive right now if we hadn't had the coverage. And now they're trying to totally gut Medicaid, which is also something for especially the people that are poor or children or, you know, people that have no other way to have insurance. And now I think even now that they were going to change it a little bit to try to get more people on it today or yesterday, they were talking that the cut to Medicaid was going to be bigger, even bigger. And it's like that's what Results works on all the time, is trying to keep the things that are things that would save the poor people or the people who need a hand up and try to save those programs like SNAP, food stamps, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, and just loads of things like that. I think today I heard that they were talking about maybe it wouldn't include funding for women who are pregnant, for maternity funding.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's
I was just like
aghast condition.
When I heard, you know, that just unbelievable to me. And then to see the room today with not one person on the committee that was a woman trying to decide all these women's issues was just, I thought, what year is this? This cannot be 2017. But
I don't think it's going to last either. I think there's enough outrage that I'm not sure this is going to continue with the way that they're going about business. And maybe they'll do a reset and say, you know what, we went a little too far. But the fact that our local representative, Dave Trot, would even consider voting for this bill when 42,000 members, 42,000 constituents in our district would be without coverage, even for one iota of a second to consider that a good thing, you know, it's completely insane, and it's out of touch with where we've gone so far. We've had this Affordable Care Act now for 7 years. People are very dependent upon it. My son will be 27 in the not too distant future. The types of jobs that are out there where you work 30 years with health care coverage and retirement plans, those days are over. There aren't sustainable jobs either. So we need a two-pronged attack on this, not just not just to cut off people because we can save money and make a tax break for the billionaires, but we need to be able to take care of people. And the last time I checked, most Republicans were Christians, and one of the core tenets of Christianity is least of my brothers. And it sounds like the least
right.
of my brothers doesn't qualify for health care. So this is the reason why, you know, our group has really gotten going is I wasn't
mm-hmm.
sure we'd have the sustainability over time, but it's unbelievable. And this is just the beginning. And if we look at
right.
the cabinet secretary picks in those areas, and we look at, you know, a head of the EPA that's a climate denier. The Secretary of State was the CEO of ExxonMobil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't even go on about Jeff Sessions and how unqualified and out of touch he is. And then our Health and Human Services chair wants to cut Planned Parenthood. So
mm-hmm.
there aren't any bright spots in this administration. And it makes it fairly fairly easy to say these are evil Disney
yeah.
villains who really have no
yeah.
other choice but to completely go against all the progress we've made in the last 30 to 40 years in this country.
I know. And then I was just aghast when I saw they were talking about cutting Meals on Wheels. I was like, what? And it's like, oh, we don't have any proof that this works. Excuse me, but the people are still alive. That's your proof that it works, because otherwise they can't
exactly.
afford food. You know,
and having worked in the mortgage industry. Having worked in the mortgage industry, and I saw the positive effects of the regulations in terms of helping the consumers and know before you owe and Dodd-Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things, they might have been difficult to implement, but they're for the better good. And they're trying to
mm-hmm.
unregulate this industry again. It's as if none of these people have seen The Big Short, which is a frightening view of greed
mm-hmm.
and banking and investment companies and how in 2007 the Great Recession happened. So, again, these are things we need to make people aware of.
And we know what our representative, Dave Trott, was doing in 07 and 08, right?
Yes, he was asking people to leave their homes.
Yeah, I think it was, 80,000 foreclosures in the worst year that Detroit had, and I think they
yeah.
said he's made himself the sixth richest member of Congress because he did that. And it was hard for me to believe that people would look at all that background and think that that's who they wanted. It's just hard for me to understand. But I guess what I've said before, someone said to me, well, how did so-and-so get in? I think that was Kerry Bentivoglio, but they was like, how did he get in? I said, easy. He had an R after his name, and our district's been gerrymandered around so that it's almost
yes.
all Republicans. So,
and you bring up a great point on that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other areas I should have covered as well is we are focused heavily on gerrymandering. And we have
mm-hmm.
one of our group members who is leading that process and another nonpartisan group to work with gerrymandered districts throughout the state of Michigan and try to appoint nonpartisan groups to assign voting
mm-hmm.
districts. And that's another really positive change I think you're going to start to see in the state of Michigan if we do it correctly. California did it and a few other states.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're right. It removes the rights of voters when their district is so gerrymandered. And if you Google Michigan
mm-hmm.
11th district and you see that picture, it's like
yeah.
a Rorschach ink blot. It makes no sense other than it's like letting a pro football team decide how to build their stadium to give the best advantage to the home team. You know, that the visitors are always in the sun or the wind is in their face. And this is exactly what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
It subverts democracy, period. And I don't know anyone who wants gerrymandering. The only people that seem to like it are the ones in power who gerrymandered their way in.
Right. And I think the other thing that they were talking about the other night was working on getting rid of Citizens United. Did you have a committee on that too, or at least that was one
yes.
of the things we're thinking about, was trying to get the money out of politics, because that just doesn't work. And we have the billionaire Betsy DeVos from Michigan that's head of education now, and that's probably about the worst person you could ever think of to put in that position, because all she wants is people to have vouchers that they take the money from the state instead of it going for the public schools. They take it to their for-profit private school, and then 90% of our kids who are in public schools are going to be really messed up because there's going to be no money left there, and the only people that go to the private schools are the ones the private schools think will be not a problem for them behavior-wise or have an IEP that they have some physical or mental challenges that they need help, and they don't take those kids. So the public schools are going to be just done. You know, we need to work on the public schools, not on the other schools. And she knows absolutely nothing about public schools. I just saw yesterday where it said, well, she's visited 3 public schools since she was put into office. But she's never been in one. She's never had any contact with any public schools before this. And I was a speech pathologist in Dearborn Heights schools, so I was a teacher in special ed in the schools before. And we just have to help those kids. Someone said, oh, if your kid has an IEP, educational plan, because they have a special need, you can forget about it under her because there's not going to be anything left by the time she gets rid of stuff for the public school. So that's probably about the worst, one of the worst things that's happened, although there's so many bad ones that it's kind of hard to know which ones to say. But anyway, so how do you feel about what's happened so far? Do you feel like there's been much success at this stage?
Well, I think absolutely. Just in the few short months that we've been around, Indivisible and other groups have come together to pressure their local representatives, and they thought twice about voting yes on this healthcare bill. So we're just getting started. And I think one of the things you mentioned was the engagement and also gerrymandering in other areas that many voters weren't even aware of it. They would vote and go home and not be that connected. And I think the awareness is really there. And I want to let you know there's a website called Count My Vote, but my is spelled MI for Michigan. And that particular group.
What was the beginning?
So it's Count My Vote, MI. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so this group is focused on how, you know, to really fix gerrymandering, and it's countmyvote.org, O-R-G.
Okay.
And they have a
Org.
Facebook page.
Okay.
You can do a search on that as well. And that's the group that's really involved in making redistricting reform happen. I know when California did it, they had, you know, very small districts for their state house. But in 26 years, only one district changed hands from one political party to another. And so clearly their people weren't being represented. And if I'm the member of the house and my district's so gerrymandered, I'm not going to listen to people that didn't vote for me. But if districts are more fairly drawn up, and I know that I've won by 51 to 49, I'm going to spend as much time as I can listening to everyone and everyone's point of views and be open and honest and transparent. And that's not what's happened. And this is all we want. We don't want to change the world. We want to make our government work for us instead of the other way.
Well, I think it's definitely going in the right direction. Who would you say are your typical members, and are they mostly because they have personal stories or?
Well, it's a great question. It started out, the majority of the members the first few weeks when we had the sign up on Facebook were women who participated in the march. But since then, the group has grown even more by word of mouth and through our meetings. We had a press person from Hometown Life cover our first meeting. So it's really hard to encapsulate the average person in our group because they represent such a broad swath of people. But I would say most people are not 100% liberal. Some are fairly liberal. Some are conservative. Most are moderate. Most people are just concerned and upset at how quickly it appeared democracy was being swept under the rug. And we aren't challenging the election. We aren't challenging the validity of anything. But what we are challenging is really the people that are being brought in to run our government that reflect a view of our nation from the 1940s or the 1950s. And we've gone so far past them that point in time. So I would say the average member really represents a cross-section of people that live in Northville. There's some members in Plymouth and a few other members in other parts of our district as well, the Michigan 11.
And then so if people aren't from Northville, they can just go on and find a group near them by going on the Indivisible website?
Yes, yes. So on the Indivisible website, you could see, you know, join a group or start a group. In our area alone, there's, I think, 12 groups. And again, the idea is that the groups work on their individual areas of control within their cities, but we also work together a lot, especially with the last town hall. There's a larger group that covers the entire Michigan 11th district, so I'm also a member of that group. But my real focus is where I live, and I think that's the whole point, is if we deal with the areas that we live in and we can make minor changes, it's going to make a huge impact in the coming years to make sure everyone is represented.
Yeah, and I think keeping the pressure on so that not just like right now when the health care bill is coming up, but next week and the next week and whatever the next thing they're bringing up, it seems like it's every couple of hours practically there's something new, but we need to keep calling, leaving messages. You know, if you can't get in to see the congressperson, then meet with staff and just, you know, leave messages. I know, like, just before the show started, I went on Indivisible Online, and it showed me a whole building full of people that were at Representative Comstock's office in Sterling, Virginia. And then it had people tweeting out about what was happening, and one person said, "So proud of every single person that's taken the time to call, visit, fax, write their elected official." Another one said, "Democracy at work. I'm so proud of how America has responded to this challenge." And it is a big challenge, and a lot of it is not good, and we don't like it. But I think, you know, from like our perspective with results, it's been working on hunger and poverty with Congress for so long. It's like, oh my gosh, people are finally getting involved, because we, you know, try to put new people in and whatever. And, you know, we have meetings all the time with all the different Congress people in this area, because we have constituents in almost every area. But, you know, the big thing, too, is, you know, once you do have a meeting with someone in the office other than the congressperson, you know, and you write them back and you thank them and you talk to them here and there and you develop a relationship with them, that's how you get in to see the congressperson if they aren't letting you in. And even at the town hall the other day, you know, a couple of people from Congressman Trott's office were there. My husband just had a meeting with his group, Citizens Climate Lobby on climate, and he was very interested, and they had a good meeting with him. And then Peter got to talk to the people that were at the town hall from his office and tell them how much they appreciated that. You know, we don't know what's going to happen after that, but it was a good meeting. And we just were given a meeting that we're having in April with Congressman Trott for results. And we just kind of, you know, I saw the scheduler on Saturday at the town hall, and I said, "Yeah, I know you're working on it," or whatever. And then she called me yesterday and said, "I know you've been waiting a while, so I want to make sure I gave you a time for a meeting." So we've got a meeting with him in about 2 weeks. But I think so much of it, to me, depends on how you treat them, how you involve yourself with the staff here and in D.C. One thing that we did was we had a meeting lately with Debbie Stabenow's office, our senator, and they said she had like 70 meetings last week. She cannot possibly see you, but we'll have the district director, I think, talk with you. And then someone from Results said, "Why don't you see if her aide for the Agriculture Committee working on SNAP and all that could call in and be on the line during it from D.C. at the meeting that you're having here in Detroit." So that's what happened, and I guess it was really, really good. And we really hadn't thought a lot about trying to involve someone in D.C. when they weren't here, but that worked out really well. So there's a lot of things that happen that that, you know, you really can, you know, make sure you're sending them a thank you note if they've done anything for you, the staff, you know, stuff like that. So there's just
a
lot that
was a really, yeah, that was an innovative approach. And again, our goal isn't to embarrass anyone or make them feel like they're being set up. And again, because his assistant made those claims on the hot microphone about painting us as un-American. I mean, clearly they felt like they were being set up. And I would more than welcome the opportunity to actually sit down with him and present him questions in a one-on-one form about the things we're caring about, the things we're interested about. Otherwise, it's always going to be a hostile relationship, and we're never going to be able to engage. Or even a town hall where we have a couple of stools on the stage, and I read the question, one of our members reads a question from 3x5 cards. Because I think after that last town hall, he's going to be less inclined to show up unless he controls. And so my whole philosophy around this is, you know, allow them to feel welcome. Don't allow them to control how the engagement works. As long as they feel welcome and it's a civilized discussion, then it will work. And if that doesn't work, then you start the protests. But at least I gave them credit for showing up on Saturday, even though they didn't let everyone in and people were left out in the cold. And I don't think they planned for that. And they didn't plan for the snow, but it certainly backfired.
Yeah. Well, he should have probably had a bigger room. Peter's an architect, and he said, you know, fire marshal would have closed them down if they had people standing around in that room. Their capacity is so much, and if they know something's happening in town, they would have been there to close it down. So they should have had a bigger room was the main thing. But, you know, I just, I'm glad, you know, that he had it and all that, but it's just, it gets difficult, but, you know, with results too, we see every congressperson. What we do is if we have someone that we think is, you know, more liberal or somebody that is not or, you know, is very much to the right, we have an office that figures out what issues would be, and we do that to ourselves, but figure out which issues they would be interested in, so we don't bring up everything. We just bring up one or two things if we're at a conservative's office that they might like. So we try to just bring up, you know, a couple things like that. So that's kind of...
I do miss the days of bipartisan... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, no.
No, I was just saying I do miss the days of bipartisanship. I was in D.C. at a time in which you would have Republicans and Democrats having lunch and co-sponsoring bills.
Oh, that's right.
And clearly, most Americans are in the middle someplace. Most people aren't progressives or ultra-conservatives or super-liberals. Most people, they want to know that their taxes are going somewhere useful, that they'll have the opportunity for a job, and they have the opportunity for education. And a lot of issues are brought up that I think are difficult and derisive, and some issues have no compromise. It's either one or the other. But at the same time, there's enough common ground that we have as Americans that we can reach that. But the polarization really started in the late 70s and continued with various news networks, especially on the right, that enabled that sort of thinking that it's hard to engage. So our real goal in Indivisible is to really begin to engage with people who have been so polarized for so long on one side or the other, to really understand, you know, we're in this together and we should work together. And I would love to see that one day. I'm hoping we see that.
Yeah. How do you think, because it seems like we're going to need all the time to 2018 election, how do you feel like we can maintain a level of energy that long once some of these big things are not around anymore?
That's a great question. Because I run marathons, and I made the mistake the first couple going out too fast, and I finished, but I was in a lot of pain. And I look at this whole campaign of Indivisible and what we're marching towards in 2018. I look at it as a marathon, not a sprint, and we need to go at a good pace, but we need to maintain the energy, because if we don't, or if we continue at a high pace, people will burn out, our friends and family will get tired of hearing it, and they'll become disengaged.
Right.
And they'll become numb to some of the horribleness that goes on in Washington with this current administration. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah, he wants to put sanctions on this country. I mean, in many ways, it feels like 1934, and we could go mm-hmm. in any direction. And mm-hmm. I think to maintain the energy and keep going is we have to pick our battles carefully. We can't afford to, mm-hmm. to spread ourselves so thin that we're so concerned about other things that we fail to yeah. really do the one thing well. So I think the mm-hmm. way we do it is we focus on specific things. We delegate. We have several subcommittees that are looking at legal and congressional and gerrymandering and all kinds of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell people in our group that it's a long battle and to prepare for it, and we will win some and we'll lose some. And it's keeping mm-hmm. that calm sort of approach to it is what I hope to be able to do.
We have to figure out ways to get, like, the high schoolers that are turning 18 and the young people. I know I one time I thought, oh, a great idea would be to talk to parents whose kids are about to go to college. Do they really need that extra pillow, or could they get their voter registration before they went off to college? I think that's one thing that I don't know if we'd do it at high schools or what, but I think if there's any way to get kids going on to college to sign up for their voter registration, I think that would be very helpful, because they get, you know, yeah. in the middle of everything in college, and then it's just too much. So that was one
thing
idea.
I thought
might be. But so can you think of anything else as far as in summary things that you would like to leave us with? Do you want to leave us with any other contact emails or anything, or how anyone could get a hold of you if they wanted to, or just to go on the Indivisible website?
Well, that would be the first thing, is if they're interested in Indivisible and they're not in the Northville, Michigan area, it's indivisibleguide.com.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd like to join our group, the easiest thing is to go on Facebook and search for Indivisible Northville, and I can be reached
mm-hmm.
through that as well. And my email
okay.
address is Ted Will with two L's and the numbers 48170@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to answer any further questions if any of your listeners want to know more.
Yeah, and same with me. If anyone wanted to contact me about anything else, either that or about results or Citizens Climate Lobby, or even trying to find out about any of those things, because when you look at everything, even like the climate, they had something on Facebook yesterday talking about how everybody was going to move to Michigan or the Great Lakes once the left and right coastlines go underwater. And I think they said it would be, I don't know if it was, they said 2100, but I had gone to see the global economist Jeffrey Sachs at U of M a few years ago, and he said at that point, he said, if we don't start doing something about climate now, by 2050, left and right coastlines are going to be underwater and everybody's moving to the Great Lakes. So get ready, people, if we don't do anything. So, you know, when you think about that, or you think about climate worldwide, it all has to do with hunger and poverty. Where's the food going to come from? You know, for all the people who are in poverty, we have to do something. So like you said, and I said, you know, it's great to sign a petition, but you need to try to get a hold of an organization. And I would be glad to talk with people, too, at malbertson05@aol.com. And I think that was about all I had on that. Do you have anything else you'd want to bring up?
No. I appreciate the opportunity to talk today about Indivisible, and hope everyone has a chance to check us out.
Yeah, and we can send that around once I get the link. You can send it anywhere you want to on Facebook, or we'll see if we can put it on the Indivisible website. And I think this one thing at the very end that I saw in the guide, it said a broader commitment to creating a more just society, building local power, and addressing systemic injustice and racism. And there was a quote from Barack Obama that said, change will not come if we wait for some other person or some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. This is the time, everyone. We can't sit back any longer. We are going to need every minute and every person to try to help change things so that it helps everyone, and so that the poor and the people who can't afford insurance, or the 24 million that will be cut off insurance, that doesn't happen. We are all one, We are one. All children are our children, not just our biological children. We need to work for everyone. So please contact us and Indivisible. And thanks so much for coming on, Pat. I appreciate it. And I will see you at the next meeting.
All right, Mary. Thank you.
Okay. You take care. I think the only other
bye.
I think the only other website that I was going to tell you about, and then we'll go, is reclaimingourdemocracy.org. If you're interested in Sam Bailey Harris's book on being an advocate and working with results, or he's also with Citizens Climate Lobby. So look at reclaimingourdemocracy.org, citizensclimatelobby.org, bodymindspiritradio.org, and results.org, and definitely Indivisible. So thank you for joining us. Come and join us. Come join wherever you live. Find a group. You don't need to do a new group. There's groups popping up everywhere. So let's see what we can do to make things good for everyone. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next month. Take care. Bye.